Welcome to These Are Good Days with Leanne Miller
and Matt Barris.
Well, Matt, I've finally done it.
Oh, I'm always a little scared when you say things like this. It's, you know, depending on how well someone knows you, that could be really exciting or really ominous. For me, it borders on between exciting or something you're going to tell me I know how to do and I have to do to help you with it.
Oh, usually, yeah, that's pretty 50-50. You're right.
You're like, oh, you know how to do that?
Yes, I'm
like,
yes, no, I don't. You know how to do so much. Listen,
I'm listening.
I went antiquing and I found the perfect little thing for you and Mallory's coffee area because I know how much you're loving the color blue these days because peacock blue couch.
Yeah, it's true. Levin Furniture, if you are listening, we love our couch. Also, pink walls, Sherwin Williams.
If you are listening,
we love Sherwin Williams paint.
But I bought this little antique shaker. It's blue and it's adorable. And I put some.
It's so cool.
Isn't it cute? And I put some chocolate truffle, silly cow, gourmet hot chocolate in it. And then you just give a little sprinkle on top of your
froth. So is this what you put on your frothy coffee?
Yes. I sprinkle it right on top of the froth. And it's
that's
just
awesome.
It's just a little.
It's going to set right next to our little coffee maker.
And it's a little extra kindness that you can do for yourself.
Oh, thank you. We don't have anything like that. Yeah. That's awesome.
Well, there you go.
Oh, thanks. My good day.
Oh.
Listen, it's been a big, big couple weeks in the Barris house.
It's been a big summer so
I know.
Far.
We've wrapped up school.
Yes.
My kids have been in camps. And, you know, recently, my son Luca went to this robotics camp. Now, my mom was there the day that we watched the last day of camp. And I said to her, no one in this room really knows what's going on because this didn't exist when we were in school. It is like what Luca's robotics camp was. It was at our high school. And he built a robot. It's called a Vex robot. It looks like this big Tinker toy, but it has like motors on it and these big controllers. And the kids have a course where they have to put these like balls in different places.
How wild.
And they don't battle each other. Like they're not hurting each other. They're trying to get as many balls on their side of the court as possible and that kind of thing. And it was so cool. But here's what's cool about it. Well, first thing, the first day of camp. So Luca's going into fifth grade and, you know, he's lived his whole entire 10 years of life in the back seat. And I looked at him and I thought,
it's time.
Luca, it's time.
Yeah.
It's time to come into the front seat. So on our first day of camp, I said, hey, why don't you sit up in the front seat with me? It was just the two of us driving to his camp. And he said, Dad, can you put on the Guardians of Galaxy playlist? Which, if you know anything about that, it's like 70s and 80s music.
That's adorable.
That I also love.
That's
so
adorable.
So I was like, yes, I will do that. Marvel, if you are listening, I literally told someone this. Here's what's genius about the Guardians of the Galaxy movies is the soundtracks are music you would know.
Yes.
But kids get attached to it because they see the movie.
And then you both love it.
And so we both love it. So we were listening to it. And we were talking, and he had a robotics camp and completely captivated his mind. You know, he has such a right brain for that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm,
like, he loves coding and robots and that kind of thing, which is stuff that I just am not good at.
Yes, you are.
And so I could be.
Yes.
But it really ignited his curiosity.
It tapped into something. Yeah, it tapped into something.
Yeah, and our school, actually, I don't know if you know this, but our school that we work at and my kids go to in the district that you live in.
Mm-hmm. Where I pay my taxes.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Taxes, if you are listening, thank you for paying them. Our school has a robotics team that went to Worlds this past school year in Texas and did all these competitions. So
that's where you're headed.
Listen, I'm going to Texas in 6 years.
Listen, one thing I love about this story is one night when I came over here for supper, Dee was out of town and y'all invited me to come over and have supper. And it was delicious, by the way. Shout out
Canaan Meats.
Canaan Meats. If you are listening.
Oh, amen and hallelujah.
Is it the Swiss steak or the Salisbury steak? It was delicious.
So good.
It was so good. And the gravy you made to go with it, I could have drank it.
I did drink it.
It was delicious. It was so good. And we were at just beginning supper and I said to Luca, like, how's it going? How's your summer? How was your day? And he said, well, I did robotics camp. And here is what I thought was so precious, interesting, and observant of him and very self-aware. He said, it was awesome. He said, I was going to go to a camp where they had robots in boxes that we took them out and had instructions and put them together. And he said, but this was building a robot, building it from like scratch. And I could tell that he was so not just happy about it, but impressed with that.
Oh,
like it was, you know, here's one thing about our kids. First of all, they're a lot smarter than we think, a lot more capable than we think. And he had told himself, if it's a robot in a box, I'm just going to be able to do this.
Right.
Where if it's a robot I have to build, I'm going to be challenged and it's going to be fun. And he really did love it. And I just loved seeing that in him.
Yeah.
So that was,
it stretched his brain for sure. He loved it. I had to sign him in every morning. And the other morning I was talking to the teacher because she's a coworker of mine. And he said, Dad, can I go upstairs? I need to get started. We were like 15 minutes early.
Adorable.
He's like, she said, if we get there early, we can get started. And I'm like, okay.
Well, and I know so you're always motivated. Early. You're always early up in there.
I'm always early.
You're never going to be late.
Nope, never.
Okay, listen, it's my turn to tell my good day. And here's what I want to say. Most of this podcast today is going to be about my good day. We're going to have a springboard off of the good day.
Yeah, I love when we do
to talk a little bit, but we're probably only going to talk about the actual topic of this podcast for a few minutes because this story needs to be told in its entirety.
It does need to be told.
And what's going to happen is the first 5 or 10 minutes I tell the story, you're going to say, how in the HE double hockey sticks is this a good day? This sounds like a nightmare. It was a nightmare for a minute, and then it took a turn, and it turned into a very good day that I have lived to tell about.
Yeah, alive. You're here.
And it speaks to good people all around us.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Matt, I was at home by myself recently. Daryl was gone. He had gone on a fishing trip. So he wasn't coming home anytime in the next 2 or 3 hours when this happened.
Yeah.
When these days happen, for whatever reason, I feel like a teenager. I'm like, you know what? I get the control of the remote. I get to do what I want. I think I'm going to eat 2 pieces of cake for supper. And I'm just going to live large. So for whatever reason, I do believe it was God himself prompted me to put a bra on this particular morning.
Hallelujah.
Now, normally I would not. It was the weekend. I would be just footloose and fancy free. I would not have put that brassiere on, but something told me that I should put it on. So I put it on. I had an oversized t-shirt on and I failed to change my shorts. Now, when I say shorts, I'm using the term loosely. They were what I would like to call booty shorts from this point forth. That for the nature of this story,
is that a politically correct term?
I don't know, but that's what they were. They were shorts completely inappropriate for anybody but your partner to see. I would not have even wanted I wouldn't have wanted my boys to see me in their shorts. Okay, they're small little shorts. So I go out on the porch. I'm having my frothy coffee. I'm speaking my gratitude out loud. The birds are singing. The sun is shining. The wind chimes are chiming. And I'm like, this is a good
day. These are good days.
These are good days. This is a good day. I think I might even get another cup of coffee. I spent at least an hour just loving my front porch. And then I went inside and Mr. Butters, and really this whole thing could probably be blamed on Mr. Butters.
Ugh.
So Mr. Butters wanted out in the garage. So I'm like, you know what? You can go out in the garage.
Butters is your beautiful cat.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Beautiful. What type of cat is he?
He is a Selkirk Rex, which is typically a curly haired cat, but his hair did not turn out to be curly. So anyone who wanted a Selkirk's Rex cat did not necessarily want him. So the cattery where he came from, you know, he was a year old when we got him. He wasn't a little kitten. And he wanted out in the garage. And so I'm like, okay, you can go out in the garage. That way I can be in and out of my house with the doors open, like just freely, because he loves to dart outside, which I don't like because we live pretty close to the road. So I'm like, you know, this would be a good time for me to go down and clean the litter boxes out downstairs because he has more than one cat should have. And they're right by our back door, our back basement door. And so I clean out the litter boxes and I'm like, oh, those, here are those plants. There they are. There are those plants that I wanted to take out to the front porch. Now, mind you, keep in mind, my phone is inside. I don't have pockets in my booty shorts. So
no, booty shorts usually don't.
No.
None of mine do.
So, so I'm like, I pick up the plants, I go outside, and the door swings shut behind me. I am now locked out of the farmhouse with no telephone.
No.
And you know how I listen to true crime podcasts?
No.
So I double check, triple check my locks.
You live in Fort Knox.
So
your house is literally Fort Knox.
It's knocked up. It's locked up. That's funny. Booty shorts knocked up. So it's locked up tight. So I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Like, what am I going to do? And so I'm like, you know what? I'm panicking. I'm just going to start watering the plants on the front porch. So I'm watering the plants.
That's so funny. How were you calm during watering the plants?
I wasn't.
Okay.
I wasn't at all. I was like, in my head, I keep thinking, what am I going to do? So I'm like, okay, well, I've got to see if there are windows that are higher up, you know, that I can't reach. How am I going to reach them? Well, I stacked some furniture, which also frightening.
I mean, if you fell.
Broken hip.
Fallen and I can't get up. Yeah, nobody's seriously. Coming for you.
Nobody's coming. So I stack the furniture. I get high enough where I can take my hands and push on the window, and I found one open. And I'm like, all right, this is awesome. I found an open window, but there ain't no way I'm getting in that window. First of all, you know our house well enough that the windows at our house are small and skinny. So even if it's ground level, that's going to be sketchy. But high up, I'm like, I'm never getting in that window that high. And I'm never getting in that window because it's this tall, skinny window.
Yeah.
And about that time, no lie, I was like, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I need help. Like, I need help. I'm not going to be able to get in.
Yeah.
And far in the distance, Matt, way in the distance, I could hear this big equipment coming, like this big tractor. And I knew that it was probably the neighbors, the farm next to us, their son. Their son is probably 18, 19 years old. He's tall, thin, athletic, and he looks like he could fit through a window perfectly.
That was the measure. Can you fit through a window?
Can you fit through that tall, thin window? Yes, I think you can. So I was like, this is it, Leanne. This is your moment. You have to humble yourself. You're going to have to run out to that road and flag that boy down in his big, huge tractor to ask him if he'll climb up and jump through the window.
In those booty shorts.
So I go out and I'm flagging him down. And at first he's just waving at me so sweet, smiling. He just thought I was waving at him. And then he saw my face. And he was like, well, certainly she wouldn't come out here to the end of the road with those shorts on unless she needed something.
She doesn't just wave at the neighbors like this.
So he pulls over, just hops down out of that cab, you know, just like a good all-American farm boy. Hops out. And he walks up and he says, ma'am, do you need help? And I said, oh, honey, what is your name? And he said, Luke. And I said, oh, Luke, I need help. I said, I have locked myself out of my house. The phone is inside. My husband is gone. There is no way for me to get inside our house. And I have a feeling you're going to be able to just climb right up to where this window is open and jump through that window like a gazelle. And he said, sure, no problem. So he just climbed right up, jumped in, went through my house, opened the front door, And right before he left, I said, honey, can I give you something? And bless his heart, he just looked at me and he said, oh, no, no, ma'am. I'm fine. I'm good. Have a good day. And left. And I was like, that kid saved me that day.
Yeah.
Truly. I don't know what I would have done. I have thought later, and you and I even kind of brainstormed this, what I would have done.
Yeah, we needed a backup plan.
If Luke wouldn't have came. And I would have had to hoof it to a neighbor. That would have been terrible. I had no shoes on.
Oh my goodness.
And I would have had to ask them to use one of their phones. I don't know your phone number. You have my garage door opener on your phone.
Yeah.
You have the
app. I can get in your house. Yeah.
But I don't know your number off the top of my head. So I would have had to call Teddy, who lives in West Virginia, our son, because I know his number by heart. Yeah. He would have had to call you and you would have had to open the door. But it's the walking to the neighbors with what I had on, then standing at the neighbor's door with what I had on and making that phone call that would have been horrifying, more horrifying even than sweet little farm boy Luke.
Have you considered getting a spare key and hiding it on your property?
I have considered this.
I think we should think about this. Because you have property. It doesn't have to be in like under the mat. You have hiding spots. I think we should consider this.
Since this happened, I have found out who Luke is. I told this story on my Instagram stories. And one morning I was like, wow, I got an influx of new followers. And I got on and it's like Beckler, Beckler, Beckler. His family started following me. And his aunt messaged me the next morning. She goes, hey, I just want you to know I'm Luke's aunt. And he's such a nice boy. And I'm like, oh.
Well, you came to our house and at that dinner and we were talking about this. And Mallory said, I think I know who that is. And she looked him up on Facebook. And sure enough.
Yep, showed me.
He went to our school. He graduated recently.
And Mallory's like, he's such a nice kid. Yep. One of her students, one of Mallory's students in her class shows 4-H animals and Luke assists her and helps her with that. And I was like, of course he does because he is a sweet kid. He's a nice boy. So it just got us talking and thinking about the idea of helpers.
Yeah.
And how when someone helps you in a situation like that, there is something that there's a relief that washes over you. Even if he wouldn't have been able to get up through the window, he could have aided me in some way.
Totally.
He could have let me borrow his phone. He could have, you know, something.
Totally.
So willingness to help is huge.
Yeah. Well, it reminds me when we were talking about this earlier, you know, there's the famous, often when tragedy strikes in America, there's the famous quote from Fred Rogers.
Won't you be my neighbor?
Fred Rogers says when he was a little boy and he would watch the news, his mom would always say, look for the helpers. That when we see moments of stress or distress, that often you can find yourself looking for the helpers. Mm-hmm. And I was reading an article about this that said Mr. Rogers, I'm so sorry, Fred, that his quote falls short. Because what we really should be saying and doing is teaching our kids and encouraging each other to be the helpers, not just look for the helpers, but to be the helpers. Mm-hmm. And so what does that actually look like? You know, I think
the spirit of what he was saying was assuming that we're all going to train our children to be helpers.
Oh, I would hope so.
And that we can always find helpers in situations that are dire and hard and sometimes catastrophic. They're you know, 9/11 was such a good depiction of that very saying. I think that's when that saying started being said so much, because all the helpers, all the people that ran to help and to rescue.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. Well, this was also started back in the 60s by a social worker. It's called the helper theory. So the helper theory, I know. The helper theory came about in 1965 by a social worker named Frank Reisman. And Frank's research showed that when you are a helper, it not only helps the other person, but it actually helps you.
100%.
And one of the case studies that they used for this study was the idea of AA and how people in AA, often there's people that have been sober that help run the programs. that correct. When they're helping sponsors, other people, the sponsors are helping, you're helping yourself too. Mm-hmm, and you're, mm-hmm, you are giving mm-hmm, yourself mm-hmm, purpose mm-hmm. outside of what's in front of you. You know, this reminded me of a show that I love. I love this show, and it's some, I'm sure some people love it and some people don't like it, but do you know that show on ABC called What Would You Do?
Yes.
Where they set up these like social yes. experiments.
Sometimes I actually cringe a little. Like sometimes I feel bad
I do
for
too.
The person that's stepping in while they're doing it, because you can tell it is like awful.
Yeah.
And then when they find out, it's like there's this mix between, oh my gosh, I'm so relieved.
Right. But also kind of mad.
But also kind of mad at you because I literally thought this injustice was happening in front of right. my face. But yes,
I saw one that. Recently where it was these grandparents with their teenager. And the staged part was the teenager looking at her phone. And the grandparents were yelling at her for looking at her phone. And this mother with her two teenage kids talked loudly enough to them across the restaurant and said, stop talking to her like that. And you put your phone down. And she started bawling and was like, you don't know how much time you have left together. And I think those are so interesting.
Yes.
What fascinates me is thinking about inserting ourselves into social situations. You know, what was going, maybe we'll never know what was going through Luke's mind when he saw you flagging him down on the corner in your getup.
Luke started following me on Instagram too.
We may never know exactly what went through Luke's mind, but you know, Luke has that personality where if he sees yeah, someone yeah. who needs something, he's yeah. going to do something.
I also think it's contagious.
Totally.
I had a situation happen to me in Hilton Head not long ago that I thought that could have ended poorly, that there was this just the cutest young man. I would say he was our boy's age. He was probably 25. And his Jeep stalled out in the middle of an intersection. Now, oof. You know how some of those intersections are in Hilton Head. They're very busy, yeah. very crazy. And people were beeping and like going around him and being so rude. So I whipped my car over. Now listen, I'm 55. And Jeep Wrangler, if you are listening. He's in this big Jeep and he's pushing it by himself. And oh my. I get out. I get out. And I'm like, I'm going to try to help him any way I can. So I start pushing. And then I think what happened truly is people were like, if that lady is going to pull over.
Yeah.
And she is old and fluffy. She's going to try.
I don't know if she could get through a window in her own house.
Just that fast.
Could she climb in a little farmhouse window? I don't think so.
I don't think so. Just that fast, three guys were right there and pushed that Jeep out of the way with no problem. And I think when we choose to help, it can be contagious to the people around us.
Absolutely.
I also think this, and I've lived this, so I know it to be true. If, now listen, I'm going to say this so intentionally because I think it's so important. If you are struggling, if you are having a hard time, if you are having a difficult marriage, if you are having a difficult time with your teenager, if you are in the middle of a business crisis, if you take the time to step back and help someone, it does not have to be money.
Nope.
It can be time and effort. But if you help someone, if you reach out and get the focus off of you and on to someone else that you can help, you will help yourself. You will, more than likely, you'll feel better about the situation you're in,
right.
or you will feel like it doesn't look so dire if you switch the focus off yourself and on to helping someone else.
Absolutely. I think being a helper is putting purpose in places where purpose is needed.
Mm-hmm.
And when we don't have purpose in our life, we get in this weird, like, I don't want to say a bad word, but a storm, like a cycle that we just can't break out of.
What was the bad word you were going to say?
Well, it's like a poop. Oh. It's like poop, a cycle.
Shit cycle?
No, stop. And I think when we're in those cycles, I think this is like a positive disruption, mm-hmm. like
yes.
a great disruption.
Oh, that's a good
you know,
way to say it.
We have a friend mm-hmm. that often, she has such courage to do this. I was,
yes.
when I was taking notes, I Just literally right off the top of my head, I could think of a time where our friend Kat,
yes, I knew you I was were on
the
phone this.
With her, and she's like, "Hey, I'm at a Dollar General and it just got robbed, and I need to hang up and help the two teenage workers that are working here because their Dollar General got robbed." And I was like, "What?" And then there was another one where she's like, "Yeah, today there was a naked man laying in my street that just needed help getting out of the street." And I'm like, "Kat,
yes.
How mm-hmm. do you?" But I think she has a lens and a vision yes. for helping others.
Well, and here's what I'll say about that. Just I do want to side note that she also works within mental health.
Totally.
So she is very.
She has tools.
Yes, she is yeah. very comfortable, and she has the tools to totally. Handle those situations. I, on the other hand, if I saw a bloody naked man, because he was also bloody, naked man laying in the street, would have to call 911 because I don't feel equipped
right.
to help right. or handle that situation. Right. But she does, and she stays very level-headed. I was with her once when we.
Oh, yeah, that happened here.
We literally walked past in the middle of a domestic situation between a husband and wife. It was scary. And she was so calm and cool and collected. And she just stopped and looked at the woman and said, "Are you all right?" And the man interrupted and said, "She's fine. Mind your own business." She said, "I wasn't talking to you, sir. I was talking to your wife. Are you okay, ma'am?" And she said, "I just want him to give me my phone back." And Kat got out her phone and opened it up. And she said, "Sir, I need you to give her phone back or I'm going to call the police." And it was so just deliberate and strong and
yeah.
confident. And she just handled. Now, I would have walked further if it would have been me because I don't know how to handle
yeah,
that.
Totally.
And I would have called 911 and said, "Hey, there is a domestic in the middle of the sidewalk and there a police officer needs to come."
Right.
But she handled it so well. He gave the phone back and that was that. And I was like, "What just happened?" But I do
think for Kat though, and I think something we can learn from it, no matter what our comfort level is to be aware and to be on the lookout for ways we can help people. It truly is a discipline. You know, if you do have the capacity to help people financially, look for ways to
yes,
do that.
Yes.
If you find yourself with time in your life where you can go volunteer somewhere mm-hmm. or take mm-hmm. like spend time with someone, you know, you don't have to pay for someone to go out to lunch with them, but say, "Hey, let's make time and spend together."
Right.
You know, whatever it is that you have an overflow of, whether it's time, whether it's mm-hmm. finances, mm-hmm. maybe it's something you're really good mm-hmm. at. Maybe you're mm-hmm. really great at doing taxes or spreadsheets
yeah,
and somebody needs help with it.
I remember.
But I think it's mm-hmm. a discipline. Mm-hmm. So I think when we start to look for it, then we're like, "Oh, there's a lot yeah. of people I could help."
Here's a great example. When you were talking, I thought, "Oh, this is a great example of that." When our friend Amy was really edging toward the end of her life. I mean, it was probably the last 2 months that she lived. Our friend Berta, you know, Berta that helps at yeah. our live events,
yeah.
is also a personal organizer. And Berta took time to help Amy organize her art and organize her cabinetry and organize her paint supplies. And it was a true gift in helping Amy because Amy was not going to be able to do that. And then in the end, what it really helped then was Tim because yeah. after Amy passed away, everything was organized and easy to find and easy to see what she had, you know, still left of her art and that kind of thing. And I do think that it does not have to be money.
Right.
It can be our talents and it can be our giftings that we can help somebody with. And I do believe that study is, I don't have to think far to 100% agree with it because I've lived it. If you help other people, you will help yourself as well.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
Hey,
let's talk about food. Okay. I want to talk about something about. I know we love Walnut Creek Foods, but I'm going to talk about something specific to the store today.
Okay.
Walnut Creek Cheese and Market in Walnut Creek, Ohio, right on Route 39,
yes,
is a beautiful showcase of all of the Walnut Creek food products.
Yes.
something if you ever get the opportunity to go to this specific
store.
I can't
wait for this. I don't know what you're
going to
say.
There is something you have to do.
What?
You have got to get ice cream or a milkshake.
Oh,
recently,
yes.
My family was there. I was still working, but my wife was not. And she had the three kids with their cousins. And they went to Walnut Creek Foods and got, or Walnut Creek Cheese and Market and got ice cream. They have an awesome ice cream.
You're
counter.
Making me hungry now for,
I know.
You know what's so good there? The peanut butter milkshake with a little extra peanut butter, extra thick.
Okay.
Extra thick that you almost have to eat it with a spoon.
I trust
it
you.
It is so good.
I totally trust that. And we are in the dog days of summer where a milkshake sounds.
We're not in the dog days. Dog days.
Is that August?
That's August.
Oh, yeah. We're not there yet.
But it's been hot.
Yes.
I mean, we've had some serious heat waves here in Ohio.
I know.
I mean, seriously, like 90s hot.
It's true.
Yeah. You're right. Their ice cream is so good.
Their ice cream.
And they have their own brand of ice cream called Mud Valley Creamery.
It's so good.
So that was a good one.
I know. If you are out and about in Amish country or you're visiting anytime this summer, pop in there and get you some because you won't be disappointed.
Yes. We are so thankful for our sponsorship by Walnut Creek Foods and Walnut Creek Cheese. They sponsor this podcast and shout out to them. We absolutely love that brand and love that place. Listen, we were customers there long before.
Years.
Long before we started doing this podcast.
That's right.
So we
listen,
are
this is
thrilled.
Not fake.
No,
this is all real.
No,
this is not for the pod.
We love that place.
Yes, we truly do. Hey, well, thanks for joining us in this conversation all about helping. But even though it was mostly about booty shorts and Luke.
Shout out, Luke Beckler. We love you.
Hey, whether ordinary or extraordinary, we hope you see that these
are good days. This episode brought to you by Walnut Creek Foods.